Joining us now in studio is Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn. Good morning, Troy.
How morning, you doing? Jeff. Great. How are you?
Good, good. We're into full summer now.
We are.
You had a convention recently.
Yeah, we had the Minnesota Sheriff's Association Summer Conference last week up in Brainerd. So that was, it's always informative. It's a good way for sheriffs and chief deputies and leadership staff from across the state to get together and train together and talk about issues that are affecting all of us. So it was a good good convention as always. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel fortunate to be able to be involved in that. And God willing, I'll be the president of the association here in 2020. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm working my way up there. And it's good to, you know, to have a voice at the Capitol and to talk about, you know, concerns that affect all of law enforcement, work with the other chiefs of police association and Minnesota Peace and Peace Officers Association. So, yeah, it's great to have that connection and a voice at the Capitol.
You know, whenever I think of a convention, in radio we have conventions as well, probably the same trade shows and such. You have different seminars from sales to programming to technology.
Yep.
Is it the same type of thing there?
Yeah. Which ones
did you attend?
We focus on a lot of the training.
Okay.
You know, and then on the second day of the conference, they bring in vendors. So you have video camera vendors, you have health, you know, for jail health care, different things. I think this year we had 56 vendors. So, you know, and it's nice. They have architects there because there's people always having to do remodels at jails, different things, build new facilities. LeSueur County is building a new law enforcement center over there. So it's nice to have those, make those connections and get things taken care of. Uniforms. So there's a lot of things. So we had the commissioner from the Department of Human Services come down from the state and talk to us about mental health and, you know, our concerns there and not having enough beds. So that was nice. We have the State Patrol, the DNR come in and talk to us, and we can voice our concerns with them. And, you know, so it's a great way to get everybody together under one roof and talk about the issues. And then we usually, you know, we have the federal FBI different groups come in and talk to us as well. So it's great, you know.
You know, whenever I go to the radio ones, I always come back with a wish list of real cool things. It's like, man, I wish we could have that.
Yeah.
New digital boards and with networking and such.
Yeah.
Do you have like a wish list?
Of course you do. You know, yeah, they bring out all of the toys to show you the new things that you can do. But of course, it takes money.
Yeah.
It takes money. So,
all right. Some of the topics, you know, on more of a state and national scale, use of force by police officers. There have been some training that some people are looking back on now and thinking, you know, maybe that particular program wasn't, you know, ideal for us in this department or not.
Sure.
Is there a lot of discussion? Are there some new things that you're learning about use of force in the police department, both locally and nationally?
Well, overall, what we found is that a lot of the studies and things that came out is that in Rice County, we've been doing things really well here. We've been doing the reality-based training. We've been doing de-escalation training for a long time. And now that stuff is becoming mandatory starting this year. So it's nice that we've already had it and we can share it with other agencies and say, this is what we're using. You know, so that's been a good thing. And that's another thing where myself and another sheriff from the state sat on a board with the post board and all of the other agencies and talk about, you know, what should this look like? And the sad part about it, and we talk about funding, but the state is supposed to reimburse us for our officer training, and we've been getting reimbursed like 25% of our training costs. And, you know, they say it should be at 100%, but that money's not there. So they did come up with some more money with these new mandates that are coming in, so that's going to help some agencies. But, again, it's not anywhere close to 100%. So, again, it falls back on the municipalities and the counties to pay for the training. But, obviously, I think training's a huge thing for agencies. You know, it's going to help you as far as liability. And, you know, if you have well-trained officers and well-equipped officers that are doing a good job, you know, you're going to be able to provide better services at a lower risk. So
now, when you do that reality-based training, mm-hmm. is that all done in-house? Do
yes.
you have a company that you consult with or anything?
No, we train our own people, and then we do the training in-house. So
that sounds like a job for a retired law enforcement official.
Right.
Start your own company. There,
there you go. There are companies that do that, but no, we've done that, and we share that with Faribault and Northfield, Lonsdale, Dundas, and so we provide that training. And, you know, I think this last year we did 8 or 9 different scenarios. And, you know, and so all of the tools that the officers carry with them might be used. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, it's just a firearms thing, but it's not. You know, a lot of these things don't go to deadly force. So that's where it's, you know, you can use other things you have. But the biggest thing is communication, you know, and how can you de-escalate this situation? Mm-hmm. Or if you deal with it in a certain way, it might escalate to a different level because of how you responded. So a good place for especially, and it's everybody learns, but, you know, especially young officers that don't have the field experience yet. So you can teach them, you know, this is maybe a better way to try it, you know. And then we take situations that have already happened, and then we put that into our training mm-hmm. and say, you know, hey, we had this situation happen in California, and now we put it into a scenario, and they're like, oh, okay, you know. And officers might not have heard about that, so.
Now, another issue that we've heard about in recent years, the last 5 years in particular, has been you know, body cams for mm-hmm. police officers. Mm-hmm. There have been, I would imagine there's been probably a lot more studies, a lot more data that was available maybe this year than there were 2-3 years ago. They're, mm-hmm. they're really looking at that. And also the cost. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Any of those ideas, is it becoming less expensive? Are they finding data is as good as we think it is? Should the police officers and law enforcement have them?
You know, I think the data has been pretty consistent that it's a benefit to have it, but it does not always show everything because it can't. Your body cam is usually worn on the front of your uniform or on your belt or on a pair of eyeglasses. So if something happens behind you, you might hear something, but you can't see it. And so, you know, we're hoping to move into that next year. Our squad cameras, we've had them since the mid-90s, and that's been a great tool. But again, it doesn't capture everything out in front. And then, you know, there's data privacy issues that we have to deal with. What is public? What's private? And, you know, so we've hoped that, you know, there would be more direction from the legislature and more funding to help agencies across the state do this. The body cams themselves are roughly about $1,000 a piece, but then the storage costs are humongous. And then, mm-hmm. and then to have staff that have to go through and redact what's public, what's private, for data practices requests, those kind of things. So that's really the costly thing. We're seeing agencies, I think Duluth had to add 2 or 3 staff just to deal with the evidence
sure.
issue.
Yeah, that would be, you have to look at all that stuff in real time.
Yeah.
So if there's no quick way of doing it,
no,
it's all just
not.
Real time. And that
there's
can be
not.
Real boring, I would imagine.
Yes.
No offense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because a lot of it is, it's not always action packed, you know? So yeah, it can be kind of boring at times. So. And then, you know, there's questions about, well, why don't you leave it run all the time? Well, you've got privacy issues. People have to go to the bathroom and, mm-hmm. you know, they can go home for lunch. Why can't they eat lunch in private or go
yeah.
to a restaurant? And so that's always been kind of a struggle, too. So, you know, we continue to work on that. And it's our hope that, you know, next year we're going to have those not only for the deputies but also the correctional officers.
All right. Once again, Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn is our guest right now. Sheriff Dunn, you have been referred to personally as a percussionist,
okay,
a vocalist. What do those two terms mean? And are you as entertaining as I would like to think.
Well, yeah, so that remains to be seen, Jeff. I'll let you be the judge of that.
And for a scene setter, Terry did a story the other day about your convention.
Sheriff's band?
And you have a sheriff's band. And
yeah.
What percussion? Is that like pots and pans banging
around?
So,
yeah.
Or do you
well,
have
you
a drum
know,
kit?
You've got, maracas, you've got tambourines, cowbell, clacks. There's a number of different
more
things.
Cowbell,
so,
yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, so about a year ago, myself and four other sheriffs from across the state were just listening to music at dinner, and they're like, oh, you know, yeah, you listen to some good music. You know, are you in a band? And I said, well, I sing in a church band, you know. And another one says, well, I do too. And another one says, well, I was in a band in college. And oh, we should get something together and do entertainment for the conference. So we did that at the winter conference. They asked us to play 8 songs, and it was a hit. They encored us. We're like, well, we only learned 8 songs together. We can't. We have nothing else. So we came up with more.
They ask you to do 8 songs. Was that before the conference or after the first song?
That was before the conference.
Okay,
yes,
all right.
Yes. So then they said, well, can you? Because a lot of times the conference will bring in entertainment, a comedian or a band or something for entertainment. And we just said, well, hey, let's try it.
We'll
and so they asked us to come back.
Both of those things.
And they
the
didn't they didn't have to pay us anything because we're already there. And we came up for the summer conference that let's do it as a fundraiser. So we did it for the Special Olympics torch run. And our goal was to raise $1,500. And at last check, we had raised $2,602.
Wow.
And now... the executive director worked with one of our bandmates, significant other, and he says, well, we'd like you to come back and do it again next year. And now we've had 8 requests since that press release went out for other venues that want us to come and play. And we're like, wow, we didn't expect that, you know. So we'll see what happens. It'll obviously have to be on weekends when we're not working, because it's a sheriff from Goodhue County, Dodge County, Rice County, Wilkin County, which is Breckenridge south of Fargo, and then Cook County, which is Grand Marais.
Okay.
So
you don't get a whole lot of time to rehearse.
No, there's not. And it's not something we can do over the phone and just say, okay, let's do a conference call, a band practice. So, but yeah, it's been very well received, and you know, it's fun. And who knew? I did a little garage band thing when I was in high school, but. You know, other than singing in church with a contemporary group, I haven't really done a lot. So it's been fun. We auctioned off things. We have different props. I auctioned off my first drumstick of playing the cowbell and got $50 for that, you know? And I was like, wow, you know, who knew?
Superstar.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I'm trying to think of like a set list, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe Bad Boys, the theme from Cops.
I fought the law and the law one.
There you go.
We haven't done that yet. That's too predictable. So, no, you know, we do a mix of, 70s and 80s rock and some country, and you know, we added some new country in, so it's been a lot of fun, and we get audience participation and bring them up. And one of the songs I sing is Stuck in the Middle with You, and so I put one, the executive director
clowns
from the sheriff's,
to the left of me,
clowns to the left of me and a joker to the right, and then gave them each a maraca, and it was just a huge hit, you know. So it's fun. It's a good stress release for us in a very stressful job. But you know, it was a lot of fun.
Oh, wonderful, man! And raising some nice money for a good cause.
Great money, yep. Well, so. Well, I'm sure we'll do something again in the future. But it's tough when you're that far apart to get together and practice.
All right. Well, you know, when you do, you know, put some stuff on like Bandcamp website or something, and you can post your next gig there too. I'd be glad to give you some free pub.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Troy, is there anything else you'd like
to
mention?
Well, I just wanted to say we did have a couple naloxone uses in the sheriff's office. We had deputies revive 2 people that had overdosed on heroin that was believed to be laced with fentanyl. And so just a reminder to people to make sure you get out. Remember Steve's Law, that you're not going to be prosecuted if you report somebody. Call 911. Get help there. If you have a family member or friend that's addicted to these opiates, get them some naloxone. You can go to your local pharmacy, call your doctor, and get that. And there's some financial assistance there. But, you know, the bottom line is we need to save these people's lives and get them the help they need.
You know, that those issues with fentanyl, that was a couple, a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen more of that since then? Is there more coming in, or is this one batch maybe?
I think it was kind of a one batch thing, because there was three in the or two in the Northfield area, and then we had one in Morristown. So it's gotten better. But, again, it's just, you just don't know what people are putting in these drugs. You know, it's not like you're buying these things at a pharmacy and saying, yeah, can I get my heroin? And you know that it's a controlled dose. And, you know, fentanyl's bad. You know, and years ago or months ago, we had the carfentanyl, so that was even worse, you know. So,
all right. Sheriff, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too. Rice County Sheriff Troy Dunn.